The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. Today we're going to continue with our series of programs about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. There are 9 of them, and we have now come to fruit number 7. Do you know which one that is? Please go get your Bible and see for yourself. It helps so much if you'll just follow along in your Bible and read it yourself and not just take my word for it, but you prove all things by seeing for yourself. So take time to go get your Bible and let's sit down and go through this together. Let's start by turning to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Here we see all 9 of the fruits of the Spirit listed here. Verse 22, Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. We've gone through all of those now in previous programs, and today we're going to go through the next one, which is fruit number 7, faith. This is a very rare quality to be found, and today we're going to go through fruit number 7, which is faith. A very important fruit, and one that is not widespread. In fact, it's very rare to find anywhere, even among Christians. Most people are filled with worry, apprehension, and doubt. Not faith. Not living relaxed faith in the great God. There's more worry than there is faith. There's more apprehension and doubt than living relaxed faith in this world today. Christ indicated this in something he said over here in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. Let's look there. Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. Isn't this an astounding statement by Jesus Christ himself? He says, verse 8 of Luke 18, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith anywhere on the earth? It's so rare, and it's so unusual, frankly, in today's society, that as he looks down into our time, he raises the question, when I come back, am I going to find faith anywhere on earth? Well, he will. He'll find it among true Christians. But he won't find it among a lot of so-called Christians, and he won't find it anywhere among non-Christians. Because most people live life not based on faith, but based on sight and based on doubt and worry and apprehension and paranoia. That's just the way it is. But you know, this fruit of the Spirit, this number 7 of the fruits of the Spirit, faith, is not an option with a true Christian. It is a must. It is required. And we need to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, do we have that kind of faith? Are we living by that kind of faith? Do we make decisions and choices based on that kind of faith? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It says right here in God's Word, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Now, I don't know how it could be worded any more clearly than that. That's specific, and it's very strong, and dogmatic, and conclusive. Think about it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Some might say, well, I have faith sometimes, and I don't have faith another time. And I might develop faith, and I might not. Well, you know, I do good things, but I don't have enough faith, or I don't have faith. None of that's acceptable, because if we're really going to please God in all that we do, we're going to have faith in him. Doesn't matter how many good things we do, it's got to be mixed with faith. Doesn't matter how much knowledge we have, it's got to be mixed with faith. Otherwise, we're not going to please God. He doesn't want us to doubt him. He doesn't want us to live life based on worry. That's not what he's called us to. That's not the way of life that he has given us. To go around uptight, apprehensive, stressed out. That's not God's way. God's way is living life based on faith, and I might add, relaxed faith. Verse 6, Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there is a requirement that goes with living faith, and that is we must seek God, and we must obey God. Faith and works go together, but we must have faith. We must have that seventh fruit of the Spirit. Otherwise, it says, we're not going to be able to please God. This kind of faith goes hand in glove with being led by Christ through the Holy Spirit. They go together. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. It is not a separate being. It is not a separate person. It is the power that comes from God, permeates the whole universe, and God gives it to us as a gift in our minds. We are begotten with it. It flows into us and then out again in the form of nine fruits. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It is a power that is poured out, and it is a gift. And when God gives it to us, it comes from him through Christ into our minds and then flows out from us in the form of nine fruits, which we've been studying in these series of programs. And the seventh one is faith, and it'll be there. If we're led by God's Spirit, faith will be alive and well in our lives. We can't earn it. We can't work it up. We can't somehow or other be talked into it. It's not an emotional frenzy. It's not some kind of worked up condition. None of that is real living faith from God. Faith is relaxed. Faith is confidence. Faith is assurance. Faith is defined right here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not based on sight. It's based on God's promises and his assurance. He will do what he says, and we know that. Therefore, we have faith in him and faith in what he says. But it is directly connected with being led by God's Spirit. God's Spirit and living faith is like a hand and a glove. Let's just notice that. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Look at this. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. They have said, after being convicted of their sins, they've asked Peter, well, what do we do? And Peter said, okay, here's what you do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, for the remission of sins, or the forgiveness of sins. And then what happens after that? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Other scriptures show that we must have the laying on of hands from the ministry, from the true ministers of God, and then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a gift, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit that come with that, they're also gifts, including faith. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Look what it says here. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. We can't earn grace. That's unmerited pardon. Nor can we earn faith. That's a gift. Nor can we earn God's Holy Spirit. Once again, that's a gift. But there are things we must do. There are requirements in order to receive all of those gifts, including the gift of the Holy Spirit and including the gift of faith. But it says right here, it is the gift of God. So let's take a look at the requirements that come along with being given God's Holy Spirit and being given living faith along with that Holy Spirit. There are requirements from God that must be met if we're to receive these gifts. If we're to receive this gift of faith, we must do something. In fact, we must do several things. We can't just go right on sinning, right on turning our back on God, neglecting His truth. I'll do it my way. I'll give Him a little time here and now when it's convenient. I'll think about Him when I get around to it. No, in order to receive the gift of faith, we must put God first. And we must obey Him. We must repent and change, and we must obey Him. We must do what He says. We cannot just go right on sinning and go our merry way, just doing whatever we want to do, thinking whatever we want to think, saying whatever we want to say, and yet we'll still receive this blessing of faith. No, that's not going to happen. There must be obedience that goes with these gifts. There must be surrender to God. There must be submission to God. There must be putting sin out of our lives with God's help. And as we do that, then He gives us these gifts. And then He expects us to use them in the right way. Let's just notice over here in Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Acts 5 and verse 32. There are people who believe, well, no matter what you do, it doesn't matter. God will still save you. God will still give you His Holy Spirit. He'll still give you faith. You just go ahead and do whatever you want to do. Christ has done everything for you. You don't have to do anything. And if you make a mistake, don't worry about it. The Savior's sacrifice will take care of that. You just carry it right on. And you can just be whatever you want to be and do whatever you want to do. And all these good things will still be just poured out and showered out upon you from Almighty God in heaven. And that's just not true. The Bible makes that plain. We have to repent of our sins. We have to yield to God and surrender to Him. We have to obey Him. And then comes forgiveness. And then comes blessings and all of these marvelous gifts, including the gift of faith and the gift of His Holy Spirit, which goes with faith. They go together. Notice here in Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. It says here in Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, and we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. That's a mistranslation. There is no such thing as a ghost, Casper the Friendly Ghost. It's talking about the Holy Spirit, the power that God pours out on His people who obey Him. And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey Him. Now, does it say whom God has given to them that disobey Him? No. Whom God has given to them that pay no attention to Him whatsoever? No. Whom God has given to him that neglect Him? That's not what it says. Here's the requirement. Here's what we must do on our part. We have to do our part. The Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey Him, that keep His commandments, that live by His word. And when He gives us that Holy Spirit because we obey Him, He also gives us the gift of faith that goes along with receiving the Holy Spirit because we obey Him. So in order to have the gift of faith, the seventh fruit of the Spirit, we must obey God. This means a total change of direction from going our own way to walking by faith and living life God's way from now on. From doing our own thing to doing what God says. From being selfish and arrogant and full of pride and vanity to submitting to God and walking in humility and meekness and obedience and being teachable by Almighty God and turning everything over to Him. And as we do that, He floods us with blessings. And one of those blessings is going to be living faith. But we must do our part. We must obey Him. And then we must walk with Him in faith. We walk in newness of life. We change directions in the way we walk and talk and live and think. In the way we are, we become a new creature. We now are living in a close relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ and doing it by faith. That's what real happiness is. That's what real joy and peace of mind and abundant living is all about. When you make that change and you totally surrender to God and submit to God and put everything in His hands and have an attitude of, yes, Lord, what will you have me do? You are entering into the quality of life that can only be realized by those who obey God. It's the highest level of joyful, happy, abundant living. And it goes on and gets better and better and richer and richer. But we have to surrender to God. We have to submit to Him. And we have to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Let's notice now 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. This is a new way of life. Instead of going the old way of get and consume and satiate the flesh, titillate the five senses, go with the crowd, be like the world, try to do everything that the world is doing and keep up with people who are living that way. Instead of going that way and being that way and doing that, we change directions. And now we go against the grain. We swim upstream. And we put it all on the line in obeying God, serving Him. We don't push our beliefs on others. We let our light shine so that others can see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. But now we have clean minds and a clean, pure heart. Our conversation is wholesome and good and right. We're honest. We're caring and we're kind. We have love. We don't covet. We're highly moral people. We worship Almighty God. This brings happiness and joy and success like nothing else can bring. And right in the middle of all that, as we follow Jesus Christ and worship God, you're going to be living by faith, walking by faith. It says so right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Most people walk by sight, not by faith. But they'll put their faith in man and they'll put their faith in what man does, but not in God. They'll get on an airplane and they'll have faith in the plane and in the pilot and in the designers of the plane and in the maintenance people that keep it going. I don't do that. When I get on a plane, my faith is in God. I may have confidence that the people have done their best to have the plane in good condition and to fly the plane in a safe way, but my faith is in God. People just roll across a big, long bridge spanning a bay or spanning a large river, and they put their faith in the architects and engineers and builders of that bridge. I don't. I put my faith in God. I have confidence that it's been built properly, but my real faith is in God. But all kind of people will put their faith in man, never even question it. Oh, we'll sit down and eat in this restaurant, and we have faith that the kitchen staff has a clean kitchen, and they're cooking the food properly, and we can go ahead and eat it and not worry about it. But ask them if they have faith in God, it gets kind of quiet. But when we walk by faith, we're careful. We do our part. We try to be around good people who do good things and go to a restaurant where things are clean. But we're not walking by sight when we do all of that. We're walking by faith in God that He's going to protect us as we cross that bridge, protect us when we get in an airplane, and protect us when we're eating food that's cooked by strangers in a place that we don't ever have any access to, the kitchen. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's when we can have peace. That's when we can relax. We don't have to be filled with doubt and worry and paranoia and apprehension. We can relax. We're in God's hands. He's going to intervene and protect us when He needs to. He's going to override the mistakes of people. When we're rolling down the road at 65 miles an hour, meeting another car coming the other way at 65 miles an hour, I don't put my faith in the driver of that car. There's only 2 or 3 feet separating us from a head-on collision. I try to drive carefully and I try to watch, but I put my faith in God that He'll protect us as we are in traffic like that. And so therefore I can relax as we go down the road. And so can you, because we're living by faith and not by sight. And that faith comes as a gift from God through receiving His Holy Spirit, which is also a gift from God. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul said this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. We live by faith, the same kind of faith that Jesus Christ had. Notice up here in verse 16, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. So this faith, this fruit of the Spirit, this gift is the faith of Christ. The same faith that Christ had when he was on this earth and lived a perfect life and never sinned once. That's the kind of faith that we must live by and that we must walk by and that we receive as a gift from God. That's the kind of faith that is the seventh fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the same kind of faith that Jesus Christ had. And we walk by that and we live by that. And everything we do is based on that. And that's when life opens up and begins to really take off and be abundant. That's when we have the capability of reaching our full potential, of maximizing our capabilities in living life to the full, ending up being given the ultimate gift of all, the gift of eternal life. And that is when we are truly rich. You know, when you talk about being rich, most of the time that's describing how many things you have, how much money you have, how big your house is, how many cars you have, how many things you possess. If you say so-and-so, oh, well, he's rich. Well, that means he's got lots of money. He's got lots of power and clout and things that he's been able to purchase and collect. But that's not really the ultimate in being rich. That's just collecting things and having things, and some of those things can be very nice if they're used properly and if they're shared, and they can be blessings from God. What is true richness? What would you think would describe an individual that is actually truly rich in the ultimate sense? Would you describe that in terms of possessions, position, power, prestige? The Bible describes that type of individual as someone who has yielded to God and decided to obey God and turn everything over to God, and then he comes truly rich in faith. That's what real richness is. True richness and true riches is being filled with faith. I want you to notice that over here in James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 5. It says in James 2 and verse 5, Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Rich in faith. And heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? And so on. So many people live life for one overall reason only, and that is to become rich. I want power. I want fame. I want prestige. I want land and money and houses and cars and boats and planes and luxurious circumstances. And that's what they aim for. That's what they spend their time seeking. That's what they use their talents to get. They're obsessed and almost possessed with that quest. But a true Christian doesn't think that way. A true Christian lays all of that aside and sets his sight on obeying God and sets her compass to serving God and yielding to God and submitting to God. And then, you know what happens? Then they become truly rich because they're walking by faith and not by sight and not by things. and they're living by faith, not living for the moment and for all that this world has to offer in the way of luxury, comfort, and possessions. And nothing is wrong with that if it's used properly, but that's not the thing that a true Christian seeks after and gets excited about. A true Christian seeks to obey God and is zealous and gets excited about the truth of God, and then they become truly rich. Rich in faith, as it says here in James chapter 2 and verse 5. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? And where does that lead to? And heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him. So this number seventh fruit of the Spirit, faith, is something that will truly make you rich. Rich in happiness and joy and satisfaction and hope. Rich in abundant living, because that's what true riches is all about. It's spiritual blessings. Oh, you'll have physical things as well. But when you have these nine fruits of the Spirit, including this seventh one, faith, you are truly a rich person. You are rich in faith. And as we live by faith and as we walk by faith, we learn to ask for everything and do it in faith, not futility, not doubting, not worrying, not asking and then thinking, oh, it's not going to happen, not going to happen. But asking, knowing that it will happen as God sees fit and according to his will. And we leave it there and just keep moving on. It says here in James chapter 1 and verse 6, this means any and everything we ask for, and I hope we spend a lot of time thanking God for his blessings. But as we ask him for things and our needs and ask him for the needs of others, we must do it with faith. It says here in James chapter 1 and verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, not doubting. For he that wavers or doubts is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. We must live by faith, we must walk by faith, and we must ask in faith. And then we will be rich in faith, and that is true abundant living and true happiness. So let's ask God for this gift. Let's ask him for faith. And let's ask in faith. Let's ask him for his Holy Spirit. And let's ask in faith. Let's cultivate this fruit of the Spirit and live by faith, not worry, but live by faith as the only true and lasting and worthwhile way of life. I want to ask you to request our free material. We'll send all of our material to you free without any obligations or cost on your part. Ask for our free CD, The Gift of God's Spirit, and our free CD, What is a True Christian? The Gift of God's Spirit and What is a True Christian? And we'll send those to you by return mail and be very happy to do so, free of charge. No follow-up, no cost, no obligation, no price at all, but free for the asking. All you got to do is just call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. And be sure to request our free magazine, Straightforward. We'll send that magazine to you, free of cost, free of charge. It's a wonderful magazine, covers many interesting topics. You'll enjoy reading it over and over again. It's beautiful. Just page through and look at the various pictures and read the articles you'll find there. Straightforward Magazine. Ask for it. We'll send it to you upon request, free of charge, 1-800-581-1317. 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website and ask for this free material at straightforward.org. Straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.